Those of you who usually come to this 10:30 service, you have a benefit that you may not be aware of, and that is that I preach this message at 8 o'clock. So when you come at 10:30, I've already practiced it once. We've kind of gone through a dress rehearsal. And so by the time you come, it is perfectly refined, right? I say all that because I left out a line in the 8 o'clock service. And to make sure I don't leave out that one line, I'm going to throw out my normal introduction and give you that one line so I make sure that it doesn't get forgotten this time. Here's what I want you to hear. Your sin may be great, but God's mercy is even greater. Isn't it terrible I left that out of the first one? Your sin may be great, but God's grace is even greater. No matter what your background looks like, no matter what you're struggling with as far as a habit, an addiction, a sin, a whatever, no matter what's going on, God's mercy and His grace is greater than that. He can get you through that. He can set you free. How do I know that? Well, one, from personal experience, but two, from Psalm 51. We're talking through our series, Draw Near. We're in the middle of 40 days of prayer. And this morning, I want us to think together about honest prayer. Honest prayer. Because most of us feel an obligation to have a beautiful prayer. God deserves our best, so I should come to Him with a beautiful prayer. I should say the right thing in the right way. But the reality is, that's not what He's after. Because no matter how beautiful the words from our lips, He is going to read the truth in our hearts. And if our lips and our hearts don't match, He knows that as well. Because He knows our hearts, the most powerful prayer is the honest prayer. What would happen if you gave yourself permission to go to God and to say to Him, God, I don't understand what you're doing? What would happen if you gave yourself permission to go to God and say, God, you really made me mad when you did that or didn't do this? God, I'm hurting. It's my fault. And I need your help to fix it. Do you have permission to pray that way? If not, you're the only one who's not giving that permission. God desires our honest prayer. One of the most honest prayers that we've ever heard is Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, David is speaking to God after he's gone through a terrible experience with sin. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was hanging out where he shouldn't have been at that time. But because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, that made him susceptible to temptation. By the way, that's the same way it works for us. If you really want to avoid temptation, pay attention to where you are and when you're there. If we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, we are putting ourselves in the position to deal with temptation. And there he was. From that wrong place and wrong time, he was tempted. He gave in to his temptation, which led to what I think is probably would today be considered a form of sexual abuse. We could at the very least say it was adultery. In order to cover up that adultery, he committed murder. This is David, who wrote most of the book of Psalms. He wrote the songs we sing and worship to God. And yet he was an adulterer and a murderer. The Bible says he's the man after God's own heart. And yet look at his sin. David committed those grievous sins. And then he tried to kind of cover that up, right? I'm king. I'm going to do all the king things, and I'm going to just keep that quiet. I want everybody to see me in my royalty. I don't want them to see my frailty and my failure. How often we make the same mistake. We put on our mask. We don't want anybody to know that we're weak, that we're frail, that we messed up, that we keep on messing up. David put on that royal garb to hide in his kingship. Until one day the prophet came to him and the prophet said, hey, there's this guy in your kingdom and man, he's got everything. He got more stuff than he knows what to do with. But his neighbor, all neighbor had was this one little pet lamb. And this rich guy went and took the pet lamb and had it for dinner. And David said, hey, that ain't cool. Tell me who that guy is, because he's going to get punished for that. And the prophet said, you are that man. Helping David realize how he, as king, had abused his position of authority and took from Uriah, from the man who lost his life, took from him his wife, and then took from him his life. And when David realized, came to grips with his sin, he saw it for what it was, he wrote Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We go on and we'll read this psalm together. As we do, you're going to notice that it lays out the story of restoration. Where we hear David, first of all, speak of repentance. And then in the psalm, we hear restoration. And then we hear a renewed purpose. And this is how repentance works in our lives. Why am I talking about repentance? We're supposed to be talking about prayer. Well, remember the outline for prayer. Remember our pattern, our format, if you will. It's based on the word draw. D, delight in the Lord. R, repent and be renewed. A, we're going to ask in faith. And W, we're going to walk in the Lord. All of our prayer life can be built on that structure. Every prayer we pray, start with God. God, you're awesome. Say it however you say it. R, God, I messed up in this way. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me to get right with you. Then ask. Now that I'm right with you, I'm in the right position to ask for the right things in the right way. Therefore, bless my family. Bless my friends. Help me here. Help me there. And then God, help me to live this out. Help me to walk with you this week. We pray with D-R-A-W, and this morning we're zooming in on R. Repent and be renewed. That begins when you come as you are. When you come as you are. Do you hear David's words? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy. David did not say, have mercy on me because I'm going to get this cleaned up. Have mercy on me, I'm going to fix it. God, have mercy on me to help me do it right. He said, it's based on who God is. David didn't wait to get it all figured out and all cleaned up first. He came just like he was. Why? Because his audience with God, his connection with God, was not based on David's character, it's based on God's character. We see that in this opening verse. On your steadfast love, based on your mercy. I know I don't deserve it, so I'm not going to be able to deserve it. I can't work my way into it. But it's all on your mercy. It's on who you are. David came just as he was because he knew that he did not have the ability to clean himself up enough to enter into God's presence. Therefore, he's depending on God's mercy and his steadfast love. David came filthy, guilty, and ashamed. He came broken. And that's the way we come to God in honest prayer. Notice the words that he used there. He said, "Have mercy on me according to your love, according to your mercy." Then he says, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from iniquity. Cleanse me from my..." Blot out, wash, cleanse. What he's saying is, I'm coming dirty. I'm not going to get cleaned up first because I can't. So I'm coming with all of my stuff. And God, I need you to give me that mercy. When I was just a little kid, I don't know, probably third grade, give or take, my brother would have been like sixth grade, I guess. Maybe I'm third, maybe he's sixth, somewhere along that age. And we were wrestling around the house, and we figured out that if the other guy's got you by the shoulders, that you can throw him up against the wall, and that makes his shoulders give like that, so he winds up letting go of you. So we figured out that we could grab each other and throw each other up against the wall, you know, kind of wrestling around, and that worked great up and down the hall as long as we hit the stud every time. Third grader didn't know anything about studs in the wall. I was a stud, but I didn't know anything about. And so you can tell what happened. My brother pushed me into the wall where there was no stud, and then there was a John-shaped hole. Like 3 feet, you know, just this massive hole in the wall. My dad had already died by that time, so Mom was raising us by herself. She was raising four of us kids by herself. We didn't really know what it was to have money or not have money. We didn't have any money, really. Mom took care of us, and we were well cared for, but we didn't have a whole lot. And so we knew, this is going to be bad. It costs money to fix a hole in the wall. And so my brother and I, we went to our room. We're crying. So we're crying. We pull out our version of the piggy banks, whatever that was, probably a little glass jar or something. But we pull out our pennies and our nickels. We put it all together. We wrote out a note to Mom. Mommy, I don't know if it's a wall. So we tried. We couldn't tell her. Had to put it on paper. We gave her the little money we had, gave her the paper, because we knew we couldn't cover it up. Had it been a hole, we pretty smart, we could cover it up, but it was a hole. There had no covering that up. So we knew we had to come to her and just tell her the truth. It was our only option. And so we came to her with our little quarters and nickels and pennies, knowing that it wasn't enough. And we asked forgiveness. This is how we come to God. You don't wait until you can pay for your sin, for your failure, for your messes. Because that does not ever happen. You will never get to that place. So you come while you're still messed up. But you come honestly. I put a hole in the wall. I don't have much, but here's all I've got. I'll give who I am to you. Would you have mercy on me? This is the honest prayer of Psalm 51 that begins when we come as we are. And then once you come as you are, say what is true. Honest prayer involves come as you are and then just say what is true. Look at David, starting in 3. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. He knew what was true. So do you. I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. God, you are the Holy One. Every sin I commit against any other person is a sin against you because you are the Holy One. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Lord, whatever you do to me is right. I deserve anything you choose. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, this is not just about a one-time act. This is my life. I am a sinful human being in need of mercy from a God who has steadfast love. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Verse 6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. And this is the crux of the whole chapter, the whole psalm. You delight in truth in my inward being. So I come with an honest prayer. Because you delight in truth in my inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Do you know you have a secret heart? That part of you that only you knows. That part of you that nobody else sees. Those thoughts that you have that you would never share with anyone. Those feelings that you hide. That's your secret heart. And did you know that it's not a secret? Because God sees the heart. You thought you were hiding it from everyone when in reality, God knew you better than you know you. And that's not said to scare you. That is said to free you. Because once I understand that God sees my heart, I am freed from having to hide it from Him. And now I can just be honest. I can just be open and honest and real with my God. I'm going to come as I am and I'm going to say what is true. This is the essence of repentance. We say, we confess, we admit, this is my fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not just circumstances. I failed my God, so God, I'm sorry. I say what is true. And then I ask for what only God can do. I'm going to come just as I am. I'm going to say what is true. And then I'm going to ask for what only God can do. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. We don't have time to go into what hyssop is, but this is the way the blood from the sacrifices was spread on the people. So this is a process of being forgiven. Of being cleansed. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. He says, I know you can bring complete forgiveness. I'll be whiter than snow. I know you can bring total forgiveness and set me free. Verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you've broken rejoice. Lord, bring healing in my soul as you bring that forgiveness to me. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You ask for what only God can do. You cannot forgive yourself. You cannot fix your brokenness. But you come to Him and you ask Him for what only He can do. There's an awesome word that's hidden in the Hebrew there. When He says, I think it's verse 10, create in me a clean heart. In English, we use create in more than one word. We use that word in more than one way. So if you were to create something out of nothing. You make something out of nothing. You have created this. We use the word create in that way. We also use it in another way where you could give a kid a bunch of Tinker Toys. Remember Tinker Toys? Isn't that right? What they were called? Little sticks and wheels and, yeah. All right, so here's all your Tinker Toys. Now create something. This word create, we use the same word, but he's actually making something out of things that exist. In Hebrew, they didn't use one word in both ways. They had different words for each. They had one word that meant, here's some stuff, now make something out of it. They had another word for, here is nothing. Nothing exists over here. This is the word bara. To create from nothing is bara. You and I read this word, this verse 10, as if it's talking about this form of create. Take my old heart and create something new. But that is not the word that's used. The word that's used is bara. Just give me a brand new start. Don't just fix the old, but make me new. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. You say, how can that be? How can God make you somebody new? Well, it happens because Jesus paid for sin. When I trust in him, I am changed. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new barach. He is a new creation. Started from something, started from nothing, and God made you a new somebody. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I'm going to come to him just as I am. And when I do, I'm going to say what is true. That's confession. And then I'm going to ask him for what only he can do. That's asking for his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. And then I'm going to live what God restores. I live what God restores. Look at verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, my lips, my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I'd give it. I will not. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. He says, I'm going to live differently. And specifically what he says, he's going to live out this new restoration that he has found. He's going to live it out by sharing it with others. Did you hear that? I will teach transgressors your ways. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Open my lips, my mouth will declare your praise. He came to God as he was. He said what was true. He asked God for what only God could do. And then he commits himself to live out that restoration. He's going to tell other people all about God and what he's done. Lisa and I were talking, I guess yesterday, looking back over our 30-something years here. And as we looked back and kind of reminisced over our time, I asked her a question. I said, did the church start growing when we started reaching people who didn't already have a church life? In other words, when we started reaching those people who had a past, who had a hard life, who didn't grow up in church, maybe didn't even believe Jesus yet. Did we start growing when we started reaching those people? Or did we start reaching those people and that's what led to the growth? And the answer is, I don't know. I can't tell you chicken or egg, egg or chicken. I don't know. But what I do know is that we've seen over and over again where God changes somebody's life. He sets them free from their past. They find forgiveness and grace. They find a home and a family. And the next thing we know is they're telling their friends, I found something. God set me free. I've been forgiven. You can have the same thing. And that starts getting shared. Why? Because we come to Him as we are. We just say what's true. We ask Him for what only He can do. And then we live out that change. We live out what He has restored. There's this kind of an obscure verse in Psalm 107 that I want to leave you with. Those of you who highlight verses or mark them in your Bible, this is one that you need to mark. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Once He has restored you, once He has forgiven you, and you have found you found a life-giving, freeing relationship with Him, say so. Let folks know. That's how we live what God restores. So if you notice, even David's prayer follows our draw outline. He didn't know the draw pattern, but he used it. If you look at the first two verses, he is delighting in the Lord. If you look at verses 3 through 6, it's all about repent and be restored. Verses 7 through 12, it's all about ask in faith. And then verses 13 through 17 is all about his walk with the Lord. You and I need to get to know Psalm 51, and we need to get to live it. Lord, help us that we might experience what it's like to be honest with you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to find freedom. That you would help us to find that awesome forgiveness. The restoration, a creation of a new heart and a restoration of a right spirit. Lord, we know it's possible not because of who we are or what we can do to fix things, but it's possible because of who you are. It's possible because of your mercy, your steadfast love, and the fact that you sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for all sin on that cross. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us make sure that we've committed our lives to Him, that we have received that forgiveness that's already been paid for, and that we're living our lives in a way that shows that. Lord, help us to draw near and know that you're drawing near to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing.